Stand together and let's go to 323. 323, Remington, you're going to lead us as we sing, and then we'll have a time of fellowship part of our singing tonight. So glad to have you with us to sing out there tonight, beginning our service.
Oh, okay.
To tell a story.
ladies that are helping her with that, but also the other things that you can do to jump in on that, okay? And then, as well, baptism, if you need to be baptized or know someone who does, please see myself about that and pray for that with us, if you will. Then the last announcement, I need to mention this, we have a new person luncheon this Sunday, and what we do is we go over membership of Sardis Church, what Sardis believes, who we are, and all that. There's no pressure to join, but if you would be interested in that, please see myself and let me know that way we make sure that we're ready for that and prepared for that. So that's it for announcements tonight, and I want to make sure I run through those, but please, parents, if you will, Stars and Stripes, we need you to sign up for that and help us get ready for that. So Brother Jimmy's going to come at this time, though, and update us on our prayer list. Brother Jimmy, if you'll come at this time, turn the mic over. That's right. If you didn't get a bulletin, can you raise your hand? And Brother Carl has them. I know Brother Johnny needed one. Brother Scott, and then you get one. And then Brother Chad, did you get two? Thank you.
Good evening. We're going to go. I got the prayer sheet for the main prayer meeting in the center of the bulletin. Y'all will open up and we'll go over some of the names that I've got some reports on, and we'll take requests. Ms. Ann Tennell is a Adam Ortiz. She's going to the ENT, I think, tomorrow. She had to be earlier today. They didn't have any negative results. They're still looking for a problem. Brother Elno, I went by and saw him the other day. He's not doing as good as he was. He slowly seemed to be getting a little confused and having a hard time walking. And y'all keep going there on your prayer. Matt Vickers had the surgery to put the stent in, and everything went well, and they were able to save the kidney. They did not have to take the kidney out. As Charlie Kershaw said, that the surgeon said he was amazed, how well it went, and they didn't have to take the kidney out. But Pauline Anderson is still experiencing problems. She's falling and having some memory problems. So, remember that family there, that they go to these trying times and are having somebody to look at her running the clock nowadays. S.J. Kentley, a young boy that's sitting right over there, and brother's name is Elizabeth. Then UAB growth or something in common. They're seeing what they can do right here. Ms. Wiley,
I'm a serious.
Ms. Wiley, if you want to see us, you're having a good day. Joyce and Ed Taylor being UAB for 14 days. They put a big round in it. So he'll be up there for quite a while. Y'all remember that team, and keep him in prayer and help him as you see fit. That's quite a burden on the family to be in Birmingham for several weeks. Anybody else got a new request?
The name here.
Danny
Perry.
D-E-R-R-Y. Anybody else?
The Wally Harrington family. He passed away.
Wally Harrington. Yes.
Back 2 weeks and they put a
calls them to salvation, and why sometimes it doesn't appear to be just right. It don't make any sense to us. But Jesus can see things that we can't see. I mean, it's all in the hands of Jesus.
I think we need to remember the church and the people that lost their lives, and pray for God to give us guidance on what we could do here to better protect us.
Yeah, we had to talk about the church in Texas, and I really don't know myself what's there about the church in Texas, other than it's just a trying time for that church and for all churches, and something we all need to take into consideration given the time that we live in. And I'm sure that we have taken into consideration, and there have been many to take it. There probably need to be more. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
sing the third part.
Sins among Christians. Let's pray together. Father, we give.
Lord Jesus, tonight I pray that you will help our hearts to be open. Lord, none of us tonight wants desires or even thinks to have a hard heart towards you. God, we want to be tender. We want to be able to hear your voice. Lord, we know we're not saved by the external and more just knowledge, but it is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we know that you're real tonight in the next few moments. Lord, will you guide us and make this simple for our hearts? And I pray that you'll help me to be simple as I teach, Lord, that I will share the word of God as it's written, not as I wish it was written, but as it is there from beginning to end. And God, you will help me tonight. Will you work in my heart and every man and woman in the building tonight? Thank you for loving us. We'll be Brother Ronnie tonight and Brother Brett. Use them as they're sharing the word of God. Miss Wendy, with our young people tonight, and you would work in their lives as well, Jesus. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for this privilege. And help us now, Jesus. We pray in your name. And all God do is it. Amen, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. If you will, tonight, look on the back of your paper. And up to this point tonight, James has dealt with the sins of envy, the sins of lust, of quarreling, adultery, and other sins that we would consider evil instantly. Today, as I have the privilege to explain to a new Christian why fornication in the Bible, sexual sin, why that is wrong, and what a blessing it is to be able to open the Word of God and just say, hey, here's why this is wrong. And it's a blessing to be able to do that. And all of us in the building tonight, we would say that murder and adultery and things like that are wrong. Am I getting a witness? Amen? And now we would say that's wrong. But now watch this. Look at your statement. Tonight, though, now James addresses two respected sins among the believers, and they're respected by most of us as well, if we will be honest tonight. One of the things that preacher used to talk to me about, and I remember on multiple occasions, he used to say, Joey, there's things in the church, sins that we respect inside the church because all of us do them. We respect them because all of us doing them. And you know, one thing I've learned about myself, you may not say this about you, but I don't mind talking about your sin. Amen. I don't mind talking about your sin. Let's get it out and open it. Let's unveil and look at it. But I hate it when we talk about my sin. Amen. And one of the realities is tonight, James takes a shift here. He goes from going after those who were not living right, who claim to be Christians, who probably were not even saved. And now he shifts and he says, hey, you that are saved. And he goes into these things called respected sins. Now, why are we calling them respected sins? Because truth is tonight, most of us, if we were honest, we do these and we participate in these. But tonight, let's look at them. What is the first sin? Number one is this on your paper. The first sin, he says, is speaking evil. Speaking evil. If you will, look at verse number 11 with me. What he tells us, James chapter 4, verse number 11. The Bible says this. He says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother. Now, the word speak evil here, I couldn't explain any better. I want you to look at what William Barclay said. Look at your statement, if you will. What does speak evil mean? It is the sin of those who meet in corners and gather in little groups and pass on confidential information which destroy the good name of those who are not there to defend themselves. AKA, in South Alabama, we call this gossip. So when you think about this sin tonight, one of these sins that is a respectable sin that James is getting ready to deal with, he says, brothers, you need to stop gossiping, watch this, about one another. He said, you need to stop gossiping about your brethren and those who know Christ. Now, gossiping, why is gossiping a sin? Obviously, it's a sin, but biblically, first of all, it is opposite of loving our brother before us. Do you realize tonight that if I am gossiping about Ronnie Marshall, then I am degrading him. He's not there to defend himself, but what I am doing is I am not preferring him above myself. I am actually trashing his name, even though he's not there. And hey, I'll tell you this tonight. You say, Brother Joe, I'm not a gossiper, but a lot of times we're guilty of listening to gospel. If you're still with me, say amen.
Amen.
I challenge you to do this. Most of the people, not all, most of the people we have a negative concept of in our lives is a result of gossip that we listen to. You know what I've learned? I've learned a lot of people that said negative things about someone, but when you really get to know that individual and you see their heart and you watch their life and you watch God use their life, your perception will change to them. Why? Because you stop listening to gossip and you actually got to see what kind of Christian they really were. And so James in the church here, he says, listen, you need to stop gossip. It's a sin because it's not preferring your brother, but then secondly, it's a sin because it is filled with pride. And I want to say this tonight, and boy, this is something that God is trying to teach me in my life, but it's not my place to gossip about you. discredit Jesus. He says, you speak evil of your brother, you speak evil of the law of liberty. Just like you are degrading your brother, you're degrading Christ in the work and heart of an individual. Now, why did he say this? This is why. Please follow me. And by the way, y'all, I'm not beating you over the head. Please don't go out here and say, well, preacher, just let us. Listen, you need to be in Sunday school.
Amen.
Let me tell you why. If you were there Sunday, let me give you the background of what he's talking about here. In the Jewish church, you had two different types of Jews. If you've been in Galatians in Sunday school, you've been studying this. You had the Jews over here that believed we attain righteousness by the law. And then you had part of the Jews over here, like Sunday when Paul came up to Jerusalem to meet with Peter, James, and John. You had those that agreed, okay, Paul, we obtain righteousness by faith and grace in Christ alone. And so you had the Jews over here that said, hey, you are saved by the law. And then you have these over here that say you are saved by faith and grace in Jesus. What is the difference? You ready for this? These over here in the law, they believed you had to live this way to be righteous. These over here believe that if you had Jesus Christ, he would help you be righteous.
Amen.
He would make you live righteous. Why? Because his law is within you. The law of liberty. But now watch this. Here's what was happening. The Jews over here who believed you were made righteous by the law, they began to gossip about the Jews over there who were living in Christian liberty, and they begin to try to tear them down. You say, well, Joey, what's Christian liberty? Let me help you with this, because you go to the wrong church tonight that doesn't believe and preach the Bible in context, they get this out of the way. But I want to say this. Christian liberty is not things that the Bible says are wrong in black and white. I'm a Christian. I can do those things I want to. No, the Bible says drunkenness is sin.
Amen.
Adultery is sin.
Amen.
Lying is sin.
Amen.
Now watch this. Look at me tonight. Those things are not Christian liberty. Christian liberty is areas of the Christian life that are not spelled out black and white in the Bible, and God allows some people to do them and some people not to do. And a lot of that depends on where you came from. You say, Reggie, what you mean, okay? Now tonight, let's take an area tonight of watching a movie. How many of you here watch TV? Well, watch this. There's some people tonight, now watch this. You watch a movie, there's three different ways tonight you can watch a movie. Number one, you can go to Winn-Dixie or pick it outside of there, and you can go to this red thing. You can go to the thing called Redbox, and you can pick out what movie you want to watch, and you can take that rated G movie home with you and watch it at home. Stay with me. Or you can go home, you can click on Amazon Prime, and you can get that same G-rated movie on Amazon Prime, and you can watch it at your house. Now stay with me on this. Or you can go to the theater and watch that same G-rated movie at the theater. Now listen to me. Some Christians say, you ought not go to the theater and watch that movie. But they watch it at home, and they feel okay about it. Okay? And I say this hypocrisy, but here's what I'm saying. We have to understand, God will allow one Christian to do something simple, innocent like that here, and another one to do it here. And what he's saying here is this, is the lawgivers begin to gossip about those who believe in faith and grace alone, and
So number one, when we gossip, we speak evil of the law of liberty. Number two tonight, look at verse number 12. Please look at this. Look what he says in verse number 12. Not only when we gossip do we speak evil of the law of liberty, but in verse 12 he says this: there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Number verse 12, when we gossip, we act as if we are God. We act as if we are God. And listen tonight, y'all, I'm not up here condemning tonight. I'm trying to help us see this, because if Christ will help us get a hold of this, this will help us in our life. We don't want to speak evil of the gospel of Christ, but hey, we also do not want to act like God. Now, I'm going to tell you tonight, there's coming a day when God is going to make everything right. You ready for this? In my life and in your life. Just let that soak in. It's going to ask you, Joey, why did you do what you did for me? Why did you do what you did for me? Or he's going to ask this: why didn't you do what I wanted you to do? And there's going to be a day when we're all going to stand before God. And James was trying to get us to see that when we gossip, we are acting as God. Look at your statement. He says in verse number 12, I'm sorry, let's look at verse 12. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Here's your statement. There is one lawgiver, one that destroys. He is the judge, and the only one who is qualified to speak evil of another. Do you know tonight? Then understand tonight. The Bible says that my job is not to condemn. My job is to be truthful. Your job as a Christian is not to condemn folks. Your job is to be truthful and share the gospel. It is the Spirit of God. It is God's job.
your life, and you got to stop acting like you God. There's only one God, one destroyer, one judge, and one lawgiver, and he don't need your help. Amen? That's what he said. But then look at this sentence. Boy, I'm so good through this too. I just feel like somebody else ought to be here teaching this tonight. Does anybody else ever struggle with this sin? I mean, anybody else say amen tonight? Okay, look at number two. Here's the thing. Living presumptuous. Well, living presumptuous, what do you mean, brother? Well, I want you to look at verse number 13. 13, he says this. Go to the mountain, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city. Continue there a day, buy and sell, get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? Is even a vapor that appeared for a little time and vanished away. For what you ought to say is, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Now look at your statement. The second respective sin of believers is when we live our lives presumptuous and we cut God out of our plans. When we cut God out of our plans. Now in verse number 13 I just read, and he says we don't need to leave God out. Verse 14, he says, we don't even know what's going to happen in our lives tomorrow. And then in verse 15, he says, we should see God's leading in the midst of our plans. And tonight, do you realize as a Christian, the Bible is teaching right here, it is a sin for us to leave God out of our life. You say, Richard, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean. To get up and say, here's what I'm doing today, here's what I'm doing tomorrow, here's what I'm doing tomorrow, and not take the perspective, here's what I'm going to plan to do, but if God intervenes, we want to give allegiance to him. You know why? Because it's not my will, but thine be done. You see it? Say amen. Now look at your statement in verse 13-15. Here's what he's saying. We should plan our lives by God's known will and always leave God the right to direct us into his revealed will. We should plan our lives by God's known will and always leave God the right to direct us into his revealed will. Do you know tonight? Let me put this in perspective for you. God's will in my life and God's will in your life is twofold every day. Please get this, okay? Every day of my life, God's will in my life is twofold every day. God's will in your life is twofold every day. What is that? Number one is his known will. What is his known will? You ready for this? It is what is revealed in the Word of God. You know this is what you should be doing. Okay? If you got that, say amen. What is known will? What the Bible tells me to do. Now, what is his revealed will? Number one, the first part is his known will. Number two is his revealed will. What is that? It is how God reveals his will to me throughout the day. Do you realize tonight what he's telling us as Christians is this? Is do not live your life as a lost person and cut God out, but you include God in your plans and you understand that every day you have the known will of God, but you also have the revealed will of God. God may bring a surprise into your life on a daily basis. You say, Richard, what do you mean by that? Think about this, okay? Stay with me. If you're still with me, say amen. We're going to finish on time, okay? Now watch this. What is God's known will for us today? Let me put this in perspective for you. We know the Bible teaches that we ought to live right. Now watch this next thing. We know the Bible teaches we ought to trust God. We ought to be a witness. And listen, the Bible teaches those of us that have not retired, we ought to go to work. Yeah, please say amen, okay? Please say amen right there. We ought to go to work. Now watch this. That is God's known will. So let me put it in perspective for you. You get up tomorrow and you say, today I'm going to live right. Today I'm going to be a witness for Christ. Today I'm going to trust God. And today I'm going to go to work. But while you're going to work, you're sitting at the red light and somebody rams into you coming out of the whole road. Now, you're a Christian. And it's time for you to find out. Am I living and allowing God to bring something different into my life? So what do you mean, brother? What do you think about this? So that person that hit me, they're in a nervous wreck. They're replacing their life. They don't know what to do. They don't know where they're coming or going. They don't know if it's up or down, left or right. They have no clue. God has brought them to the place. You ready for this? Where they're absolutely at the end of the bucket and they're like, God, I have no clue what to do with my life. What in the world are you doing? Guess what? They pull out a hug of hatred and they hit you. And so you as a Christian, you get out of the car, you live right. You're trusting God. God, you knew this was going to happen. You knew before I was even born that I was going to be hit at the hobo pantry today. And so you're trusting God, and you know what happens? You get over there by that person to hit you, and you begin to find out that God's working their life, and you share the gospel with them. And when you get done, you get to go to work late. In the excuse. Amen? Now watch this. What is that?
and we'll be done. James chapter 4, verse number 16, the Bible says this. But now you rejoice in your boastings, as all such rejoicing is evil. What is that then?
Remainder of night.
Talks to me about this all the time. I think you are a plan. I got my phone every 30 minutes goes off telling me what to do all throughout my day. I had to, and I'm still failing at it. I'm telling you. But you know what? That's wrong for me to glory in that. Because what if God wants me to do something different at 10:30 than what I have planned? And he's saying, all such rejoicing with evil. You're bragging about being super organized. What if God wants to squeak something into your schedule? You need to be sensitive to it. That's what that's saying right there. But look what he says in verse 17. Look what he's how he ends this. He says this. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do what?
Good.
Now look at it. What do we know is good we should be doing? Number one, we should not be what? God's good. Number two, we should not be presumptuous. We ought to allow God to be God in our life. And he says to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is, say the word, sin. These are the respected sins. And he says, you know you shouldn't, Johnson. Don't sanctify it. Don't say this. I just told the truth. No. You did. You defrauded your brother. You went there to defend himself. You got a problem with somebody to talk to. Amen?
Amen.
Don't say something behind your back. Him that knoweth do good, doeth it not, to him that is sin. God will help us, won't he? Amen. He'll help us. But then he says this, don't you live presumptuous. You go and say, if the Lord wills, if the Lord wants me to do this, this is what I got planned. But if he wants me to do something different, I'll do something different. Why? Because my life belongs to him. He purchased me, he's got the rights to it, and he can surely not tell me what to do in my day. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for forgiving us in our lives. Lord, we know tonight that there is a big, big difference between admitting my sin and confessing my sin. Lord, if I realize my sin in my life and I admit it, but I do not confess it, I have not been forgiven as a Christian. And tonight, Lord, help me not to just admit that I've been wrong, but to confess and agree with you that it is wrong in repentance and turning from it. And Lord, tonight I pray that you will help us with these pet sins in our life. And Lord, tonight the truth of the matter is most of us in the building that are honest, we all struggle with this, God, of degrading, speaking evil of our other brother and sister in Christ. Lord, there's no room for that in the kingdom of God. It is not pleasurable to you. It is not what you want us to do. It is not good. And God, tonight, help us to trust Jesus Christ that he can do it. He can work in a man's life. He can work in a woman's life. God, help us to never take the place of God and being a lawgiver, a judge. God, it's not our place. Help us to realize that. And Lord, tonight, I pray that you would teach us to number our days in faith, that if it is your will,